Well, good morning. Good morning. That's pretty good. Try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's right. It is so good to be here. We just love Faith Bridge Church, our Camp Lebanon team. There's really no church like this one in the support and the participation. We appreciate your financial gifts every month, and you pray for us, and you come, and you help, and it's just a great partnership. I want to give a greeting from my wife, Lisa. And in fact, would you do me a favor? There's a camera right up here. Would you just kind of turn around? Just turn around and wave at Lisa. Here she is. There's, hey. And our son Matthew, so they're watching this morning. At least they're supposed to be, so hey. Yeah, anyway, but we have a gift. We have a present for you from our camp team. This is kind of go with an update of camp. And what we're, how many of you have been to Camp Lebanon before, by the way? All right, most of you, that's great. You just get on 71 and you go south about 90, 95 miles or whatever, and sooner or later you'll get there. So it's a nice, friendly drive. So we're not too far away. And you're one of 20 churches that owns Camp Lebanon, and we appreciate that partner so much. So enjoy this greeting, this turkey hug from our camp staff.
I've come up with a great way to publicly express gratitude.
Oh, it's turkey.
Hands remind us of turkeys. Turkeys remind us of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving reminds us to be thankful.
How do we use our turkey?
Turkey hug! Turkey hug!
Man, how about you give it a try?
Thanks for being you. High five!
High five!
High five!
High five!
Pies mean more to me than turkeys.
Everybody screwed up, didn't they?
I'm so saddened.
Oh, Bill, I can see even through your mask that you're sad.
Yeah.
What's the matter? Why are you so sad?
Well, it's almost Thanksgiving, and it's time to give turkey hugs and pie fives, and nobody's here. How can you give turkey hugs and pie fives and everybody's gone?
So I understand. Sad. Everybody should be able to get a turkey hug or a pie five at this time of the year.
Yeah, especially in these times with COVID and all that stuff.
Well, you know, Bill, COVID has impacted camp in a whole lot of ways this year. But we've been really creative in finding ways that we can still have ministry here at Camp Lebanon. There's got to be a way.
I've got it! I'm going to call the Fun Squad! Fun Squad! Fun Squad!
Is that Bill? He looks saddened.
All right, Fun Squad, I am so saddened. It is Thanksgiving, and it's time to give turkey hugs and pie fives, and everybody's gone. There's just, what do we do?
I got it. Let's just mail them. We can mail them in to people.
I just think that's gonna be a little too expensive.
Or we could all wear hazmat suits and deliver turkey hugs and pie fives in person.
You know, that actually reminds me of a GIF where the guy's in the hazmat suit and he's, that's it.
What?
We could do a GIF of a turkey hug or a pie five and just send them out to people. You could text them, you could email.
I like it.
Oh, I get it. I think that could work.
One problem. It's a GIF.
Oh, don't start that again. GIF is peanut butter.
It's GIF.
GIF.
It's GIF.
GIF.
It's GIF.
GIF.
Oh, let me guess. You would call a really big animal with a really long neck a giant giraffe.
Come on, it's not the same thing.
What is a GIF?
It's a short video that plays over and over again.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun, but I don't really care. We just have to do it on a jiffy.
Correct.
Ah, all right, so how are we going to get this done?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Mondi's great at making GIFs.
It's Jeff. So in this season of COVID, which has been a really strange season for everybody, it's been very difficult and challenging. It certainly has been here at Camp Lebanon. You think way back in the spring when we had to shut everything down. Well, Camp did things differently. We did a lot of projects on the facilities while things were down. We also did some Camp Lebanon online, and that was a lot of fun. We got to summer, and we couldn't do youth camps, but we were able to do family resorts. And families had a blast, and we love serving those families. And now in the fall, we've rescheduled some events. Some things have been canceled, moved around. And now we're in the middle of quilt. Quilt is different, but we're still doing quilt. And we're so thankful to be able to keep serving and keep loving and keep helping Camp Lebanon to be a meeting place with God for our guests. We've been able to do this because of our faithful God and because of our wonderful friends like you. So we just want to say, turkey hug, and we want to give you a pie five for all that you've done to help us here at camp. We had the I Love Camp campaign, which raised $90,000 for camp. People have gone over and above with gifts year-round. We've got someone gave us a used truck and a utility trailer and all kinds of ways. People have come along as volunteers. And because of that, Camp Lebanon is alive, doing well, and having great ministry. So we say thanks to the Lord and thanks to our friends. And we'd like to encourage you in this season to give your own turkey hugs and pie fives to the people in your family. And when you do, be sure to give them a reason why you're thankful. Right? Make it personal, make it fun, and give them a big hug. So this is Bob or Bill at Camp Lebanon saying thank you and turkey hug. Thanksgiving.
That was fun. So, turkey hug. Go ahead, give somebody a turkey hug right now. Just turkey pie five. That's right. Next year, it could be the turkey wing. We'll see what happens. Anyway, a lot of people have been asking us, how are you doing? How is Camp Lebanon doing? And it's actually one of the most thoughtful, caring questions that we get. It's kind of like a big hug. That question comes as a big hug. You know, we've been stressed. We've been blessed. God's done amazing things, and now we're focused. And something that's even added on since the video was made is that we had to shut down our last two quilt retreats. And you talk about sadness. That is being sad, and that was really a sad thing for us. So, but God's providing, and we're thankful. And honestly, we do not know what's going to happen this winter with all the limitations and whatever, as far as what camp can do as a youth camp, as a family camp, or whatever. But the Lord knows, right? So we can trust Him. And that's part of our lesson for today. I thought with Thanksgiving coming, it'd be good to talk about turkeys. Do you know any? I mean, actually, in the Bible, there aren't any turkeys other than the Philistines, maybe, or King Ahab, Solomon. He's kind of King Saul. He was kind of a turkey. But instead, we're going to talk about sheep. How about that? We'll talk about sheep. All right, let's ask the Lord's help. Father, we just want to say thank you so much for the good news that is in your word, the good news that has come through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we thank you, too, for your spirit, which guides us into truth so we can grab and understand and embrace this good news. I know that all of us here today have been touched by COVID and challenges and cultural unrest and all this in so many big ways. Some of us face really difficult things, decisions, circumstances. And we just pray, Father, that you'll speak to us today and that you'll give us some encouragement from your word. so we can understand your will and bring you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are going to talk about sheep. This sheep, by the way, this is Beulah. Beulah means glory. The first sheep. But just to, you know, before we get into 10 facts about sheep, I just want to see what kind of group we got. All right, so here you go. Ready for your test, your sheep test? What do you get when you cross a sheep with a porcupine? What do you get when you cross a sheep with a porcupine? You get an animal that can make its own sweaters. I'm not going to explain these. I'm just going to share them. So what do you get from a sheep that goes to karate class? Lamb chops, that's right, lamb chops. Can I do one more? So, coming up this morning on 71 there, I saw that this sheep got pulled over by the police officer, by the highway patrol, that's patrolling 71 there. And why do you suppose the highway patrol stopped that sheep on Minnesota 71? It made an illegal U-turn. Okay, forget it. You didn't pass, but we're going to do these anyway, all right? But if you happen to have some notes here in your bulletins, there's some extra ones scattered around. Just kind of fill in the blanks, so we'll be using these a lot this morning to help us out. 10 fun facts about sheep, and I'm not a sheep expert, but it's been really fun to do a little research about sheep. Did you know, for example, that sheep have 32 teeth? Who's counting, right? And all the teeth are on the lower jaw. That's why they talk like that. All right? And another cool thing about the way God created sheep is he made sheep with a split lip. So they kind of go, they both move separately or whatever. And that helps the sheep kind of pick the right leaf or the right blade of grass or whatever. They can be pretty particular. That's kind of cool. And did you know that sheep smell with their noses? And they also have scent glands between their toes. How about that? So sheep smell with their nose and their toes. How about that? Now, if I were a sheep, I'd be in living torture every day, smelling my feet, right? But that's the way that God made them. So when they're just walking around, you think they're just looking, but they're smelling as they're walking. It's kind of cool. Sheep have amazing vision, amazing peripheral vision. So for me, I can see to about there without turning my head. But sheep can see back to there because sheep can see 270 to 320 degrees. Which means that they can see what's coming behind without turning their head. Which is kind of convenient if you're a sheep and you have no real defense other than running, right? So they can see what's coming. That's the way God made them. Sheep, of course, are the world's number one source of wool. You probably already guessed that. There are over 1 billion domesticated sheep on the planet. The average sheep produces somewhere close to 30 pounds of wool each year. That's woolly cool, isn't it? Yeah, 30 pounds, and I found out that 1 pound of wool can be used to make 10 miles of yarn. Isn't that amazing? I know, what? That's crazy. So you take 30 pounds, that's a lot of miles, isn't it? Yeah, that's pretty cool. As far as intelligence, a lot of people think that sheep are kind of dumb, all right? And there's probably good reasons for that. But anyway, the intelligence of a sheep is below that of a pig. But it's about on par with a cow. See, so they're not that dumb, right? I'm not sure how they even figure those things out. But a sheep can remember 50 distinct faces over a 2-year period. They've done the test to figure that out. That's pretty cool when you think about it. Sheep also have good hearing. Sheep are easily agitated when isolated. See, sheep have no defense, as I mentioned before. I mean, they don't have claws. And their teeth are dull. I mean, they're not sharp, pointy things, you know, like bears or whatever. So what do they have to protect themselves? They're not particularly fast. They're kind of plumpy, right? So the best thing a sheep can do in trouble is to kind of huddle, right? And they feel a little more security there, and they need their shepherd. But you get a sheep isolated away from the flock, and you have one nervous sheep. And they get really mad and agitated. But that's just about sheep. Sheep are super vulnerable. As I mentioned before, they don't have anything to defend themselves. But it's not just that either. The sheep is doing its thing and it's straying and wandering and it trips and falls in a rocky area or whatever. And if a sheep falls on its back, on its back. By the way, goats go meh and sheep go baa. Right, we know that's the truth. I know our son Matthew, when he was, anybody talk to sheep? I mean, you know this stuff if you do that. But we were with some friends and they had a goat farm. Our son Matt was young and he heard, Matt, hear the goat, Matt, it's mom, that sheep's calling my name. It was really cute, Matt. But if a sheep falls on its back like this, so it's legs up, that sheep cannot right itself, which is a problem. Right? Some of you may have that problem too. But sheep are very vulnerable. And someone told me too that if you cross the sheep's legs, it can't move. Is that true? Does anybody know? But sheep are vulnerable. That's kind of a problem. Sheep need to be led and not driven. So they're not like cattle, which are kind of, you got the horses, we got another whips and all that kind of stuff. Sheep need to be led. Part of it's because of their fear and their needs and their constitution, whatever, but they need to be led and not driven. And then the last thing is that when a sheep senses trouble, their instinct is to, anybody know? Run and hide. The problem is that a sheep's instinct gets it into big trouble. Running and hiding takes it from the group, takes it from the shepherd, but they just are afraid. They go and hide and they get into some crazy, crazy spots and predicaments that are worse than perhaps the danger that they were facing. Well, those are some fun facts about sheep. Here's a fun fact about humans. Humans are like sheep. That's right. We are a lot like sheep. We're a lot like sheep. You know, we don't smell with our toes. Our toes just smell. So that's a little difference there. But we're a lot like sheep in that we get agitated when we get isolated because we need people, we need a group, we need family, we need community. So when we get cut off, it's really a big deal. We are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to depression and discouragement, to temptation. We are vulnerable in so many ways. And like sheep, we too need a shepherd. We need somebody to lead us, to guide us, to protect us. So we're a lot like sheep. You know, and because of our connection with sheep, it's not surprising that in the scriptures that we have quite a few references in the Bible to sheep. Back in Genesis, there's a guy named Jacob, and Jacob was giving his family blessings before he died, and he was blessing his son Joseph. In Genesis chapter 48, he says, "Then Jacob blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my fathers Abram and I walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, may he bless these boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, the sons of Jacob.'" It was just a tremendous blessing. Psalm 100 describes God's people this way. It says, "Shout for joy to the earth, all the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come with joyful songs. Know that he is the Lord is God, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Such a beautiful picture of God's people. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray." We've each gone to our own way, which is a description of sin. And so there's just a lot of connections. And then, of course, you get to John chapter 10 in the New Testament where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." So the Bible makes this connection, which is understandable because in Bible days, there were a lot of shepherds as part of their life. So it made for a great picture. The ultimate picture of sheep in the Bible, of course, is Psalm 23, which is a very, very precious psalm. It's probably the most famous of all the psalms, and for very good reason. It is so precious. And you can say, "Well, I already know Psalm 23. Well, do you? I just want to share a few things with you today about Psalm 23 that'll kind of open your eyes to this really special treasure of a psalm that just kind of goes below the surface. It is such a precious thing. On the back side of your notes, I printed out Psalm 23 for you, and you can make reference to this as we go. But let me just go through this, and then I want to share with you five truths about Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my... This is probably the most memorized psalm as well in the Bible, so maybe you could help me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I lack nothing, right? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And when you read green pastures, we think of central Minnesota alfalfa fields, just lush green, right? That's not Palestine, right? Green pastures. In fact, you can Google it sometime. You could see for yourselves what it looks like. But in that more arid culture, more wilderness, but there are patches, tufts of grass here and there. And I've seen pictures of shepherds taking their sheep across these hilly, barren sides. I can't even see any grass. But the shepherd leads his people to the grass that is there. That's what shepherds do. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Of course, a sheep will not lie down until he's full. Also needs to be free of bugs and free of fear. He leads me beside still waters or quiet waters. The Hebrew word really means restful. Not what we need today. We need rest. He leads me beside restful waters. He restores my soul. All right? He guides me in paths of righteousness. Righteousness is the right way based on God's way, right? So that's righteousness. He leads me the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This, by the way, is a good principle of life. It's really not about me. You know, we have a lot of things that we worry about, but it really isn't about me. In this case, it's about the shepherd, right? And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? So here's this great picture. And really, in the original language, the valley of the shadow of death is really translated the valley of shadows. And it's understandable when you think about the climate there and the topography and whatever, and you have this shepherd leading these sheep through these hills and across these barren, these dried out wadis. It's a riverbed type thing, which makes for a good path when it doesn't rain. It's all dried out, and there's rocks, and there's boulders, and all kinds of stuff. You got the picture? And here's a shepherd, you know, leading those sheep, trying to find grass. Well, sometimes they walk through this kind of a ravine, a gulch or whatever, and you have the rocks and whatever, and they actually literally walk through shadows because they're walking through this path, which is really scary, unnerving for a sheep. So it is for us, right? But it's the shepherd who guides us through the valley of shadows. And the ultimate shadow is death. And we fear no evil, for you are with me, the shepherd. The God is with us. His rod and his staff, they bring comfort. So the shepherd often had two tools. He had his club. He had his staff, which is more like a club, a shorter stick or rod. It was used to discipline the sheep on occasion. And it was used to beat off predators, whether robbers or tight lions or whatever. But he also had a staff, and whether it always had a crook or not, I'm not sure, but it was a walking stick, which really came in handy, but it also served to reach and grab and pull the sheep when they're in trouble. But these instruments brought comfort to the sheep who was going with them through these dark, shadowy, tough places. All right? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some people say that the metaphor switches here to more of a host. God is like our host at a banquet table. Some people still see the shepherd taking care of sheep, preparing a table, even in the wilderness, in the presence of my enemies. And sheep had enemies, the wolves and the bears. Palestine has cougars or mountain lions, just like here. There are robbers. So they had enemies. You anoint my head with oil, which could be either for healing or could be for celebrating. My cup overflows. And there's a friend at camp who, I wish I could quote the poem like he does, but he talked about drinking from a saucer because his cup overflows, right? That's how God does. And this is how the shepherd takes care of his people. My cup overflows. And that's just surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I had a Bible teacher who said, surely goodness and mercy, or this Hebrew word for love, is chesed. It means steadfast love. It's a love that is faithful, a love that you can count on because God is good for it. It's chesed. It's just a beautiful word. It shows up over 250 times in the Old Testament. That's who God is. He's good, and the word for good is the same word that God used in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And the word there is tov. It's just a great word to describe who God is. God is good. Tov. And here it is, all the tov, your tov and your chesed, your goodness and your steadfast love follows me. Kind of like my Bible teacher said, like the two sheepdogs following after the sheep. Here they come. Goodness and steadfast love for that mercy that follows me all the days of my life. And the word follow really is the word pursue. God loves you. God loves me so much that he pursues us in his goodness and his steadfast love. It's just an amazing picture of how the shepherd loves his sheep and he provides the stuff. He just wants them with him. And then it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Literally with days without end. What a beautiful psalm. Well, we know this, but let me just share five truths about this psalm. The first thing is that Psalm 23 is a song. It's a song. Now, we don't usually sing. I don't really know what the tune is, and if I did, you wouldn't even want me to sing it to you, right? Thanksgiving is coming, by the way, so you can be thankful for that. But it's a song. The book of Psalms is a collection of 150 psalms or songs, and this collection is used in worship. And this is a song. And as a song, it's written in 9 stanzas. That you can write in there, 9 stanzas. And on the backside where I printed the text out for you can see the 9 stanzas. Now, this may get a little technical, but I just think it's really cool. Let me explain how this works. There are 9 stanzas, so there's a middle. 4 + 1 + 4. And when songs are written that way, it puts emphasis on the middle, on what's that one. And so that's how this psalm is written. And so it may help you to picture the sheep who are walking with the shepherd up this hill. And then they're going to get to the top, and then they're going to go back down. All right, that's kind of how the song flows metrically. So here we go. Let's see if you can see it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. You feel it? You feel the whoosh, you kind of feel the sheep, you walk up, and then right there in the middle is that center, you're with me, you're riding your staff, they cover me, and then it goes back down the hill. So the question is, what's on top of the hill? What did the sheep find at the top? Who did they find at the top, right? On the top was the shepherd, and the shepherd had his staff and his rod with him. And they brought comfort and they had security. That's what they found on the top. They found rest. They found security in God. That's how this song is written. Now, if that may be a little technical, I just think it's really cool. And it really puts the focus on what the psalm is really all about. It's about the presence of the Good Shepherd. Well, a second truth about the Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is about the shepherd. And the shepherd, of course, is the Lord or God, right? So I want you to get your hands ready. Are you ready? This is an optional, right? Use your fingers. You're not going to have enough of them, but give it your best shot. I'm going to read through this psalm, and I want you to count every personal direct reference to God. Are you ready? Because this is a psalm about the shepherd, and by reading through this psalm, we can learn a lot about who God is. Number one, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How many did you count? 12. It kind of depends on your translation. 12 or 13. Doesn't really matter. I don't have that many fingers, right? This is a psalm about the shepherd. That's why it's called my shepherd psalm. That's what I put the title on there for, my shepherd song. And you can take the time, and we don't have this morning, but to go through this psalm line by line, stanza by stanza, and start making a list of who God is. And you're going to see God who takes care of all our needs. It's all there. He's the one who provides us. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that restores our soul. He's the one that brings healing. He's the one that protects us. He's the one that's leading all the way home. It's just an amazing, awesome psalm. Well, Psalm 23 is also about the sheep. This is a psalm about me, about you. If you've given your life to Christ, you're one of his sheep. So, you got your fingers ready? You're going to need your toes, too, on this one. All right? So let's count how many you got. Ready? Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. And surely your goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can almost preach, can't you? How many did you count? 17. Isn't that amazing? This is my shepherd psalm. This is such a personal psalm. And let me just tell you when this song became really personal for me, where it just really thought, oh. This one goes back a number of years. As a part of the Camp Lebanon ministry team, I'm on the local ministerial. So I connect with other pastors. And back in these years, we had an active ministerial that gathered. On one particular sad day, in I believe it was February, there was a boy, his name was Adam, junior in high school. There was a snowstorm, school was let out early. Adam was going to be dropped off at his house by some of his friends, but there was so much snow in the driveway that they thought they'd just drop him off on the road, on the tar road about a mile away from the school. And so Adam got out and he walked around behind the car, stepped across the lane to get to his house. The white truck in the white snow. The wind was howling. Neither saw each other. And the truck hit Adam. It was really tragic. Adam was, he was not killed, but he was in really bad shape. And they took him to the hospital. Eventually, he was put on a life support system. The rumors were going around in the school saying that Adam was getting better. In fact, Adam was going to be at prom. The rumors that were going around and just all the stories and stuff. But the following Tuesday, I got a phone call from the school administrator, and they're going to have an assembly at school to announce that Adam had died. The students were not prepared. Remember, I told you they were thinking about something else, and they were not prepared for this moment. And what the administration intended to do was to have an assembly where the principal would get up and he would make this tragic, sad announcement to the student body. And some other information that related to it. And then they were going to take about a 15-minute intermission. And anybody that was wanting to stay, there's going to be a prayer service led by the ministerial. And as it turned out, nobody left. In fact, it seemed like the whole community of Uppsala was there. Their parents there, their counselors, their just lots of people, the family, everybody was there. Every student stayed. And I remember I got the phone call, I got in the car, and I headed right for the school, and I had about 5 miles to get ready for this. I said, Lord, what do I say? If I have an opportunity to say anything, what do you want me to say? And it was clear can be. He said, share my word. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was so clear. Share my word. You know, the Bible's a big book. I said, Lord, What passage? And then instantly it was Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And as it turned out, as a ministerial, I did have a chance to address the whole community. And God had prepared my heart with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I read this, and as I was reading this thing through, it just struck me so powerfully in the moment that this is a personal psalm. There are so many personal pronouns in it, and honestly, I really did not know Adam that well. I knew of him. His brother played baseball with our oldest son, Monty, so we knew that, but I didn't really know him. I didn't know about his spiritual condition. I didn't know anything. But I knew that gathered in that room were a number of people who loved Jesus, who I could encourage them and say, you know what, the Lord is your shepherd. This psalm is for you. And it was so powerful. It was so personal. And for me, as the minister standing up, I tell you, it was a big moment that I've never, ever forgotten in my life. And so when I get a chance to share this psalm, I cannot but see the personal pronouns in it. 17, right? Which is pretty neat. So this is also your psalm. If you follow the shepherd, this is your psalm. A fourth thing about this psalm, Psalm 23 is the number one funeral psalm. It's not a surprise. You know, it talks about the valley of the shadow of death, and you know, it talks about those type of things, so it kind of fits or whatever. This is the program celebrating the life of Eunice H. Burwald, my mother-in-law. And I had the privilege of preaching at her celebration service 3 weeks ago yesterday. She finally ended her seven-year journey with dementia, Alzheimer's. It was a hard, hard time through those years, but it was my privilege to share that message. And I knew it had to be Psalm 23. I had the privilege of sharing at her husband's, my father-in-law's funeral as well. He was a dairyman from South Dakota, just north of Brookings over there. And he married this girl. When she was a young girl, she was a shepherdess. She raised sheep, so it's the shepherd marrying the dairyman. You know, the Packers and the Vikings coming together in the same house, right? It was one of the funny stories about Eunice is that she had her sheep, and when they got married, her husband sold all the sheep to her brother. I guess it was their first fight. And so Arlen had to go back and buy the sheep back from his brother-in-law at a loss. But Eunice loved Psalm 23, and even in those later years in her life when she couldn't know her name, she knew Psalm 23. She knew the name of Jesus. That's what Lisa would say, is that the most important thing is, you know, she was comfortable with us, but she knew she loved Jesus. Probably the last name she remembered is Jesus. And so at the funeral, we shared Psalm 23. And it does make for a really good funeral psalm. But the last thing is that Psalm 23 is a great psalm for today. So don't wait for your funeral to use this psalm in your life or in the celebration of your life. Don't wait. This is such a rich, personal psalm. And in our day-to-day, we face a lot of issues. We all talk about COVID and how it's unsettling, disturbing so much. You know, even our family trying to figure out what to do with Thursday. You know, we have three households, right? So the governor said we're supposed to, and then there's consequences of work and whatever. Is it safe? Whatever. It is a really tough decision, and that's relatively minor compared to what other people are facing who have contracted COVID or lost a loved one or things that their business has been shut down or whatever. But these are really difficult times of COVID. And then we have the election and all the unrest that goes with that and the uncertainty and all the hatred and name-calling and the division, whatever. And for some people, it's really got them on edge. It's really got them discouraged. Or maybe you've talked to your banker lately or your doctor and the news wasn't good. Or maybe there's World War III going on in your family somewhere. Say, these are unnerving times, but you know what? We have a shepherd who loves his sheep. And this psalm, Psalm 23, is your psalm. If you've given your life to Jesus, by the way, Jesus is also described in the Bible as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he died on the cross to save us. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So he's also the good shepherd and the sheep, I guess the lamb at the same time. But he died on that cross, the sinless one for you, to give you hope and life. And so when we put our trust in Jesus, the risen Savior, we have a shepherd who's going to take care of his sheep. And Psalm 23 becomes intensely, wonderfully ours. As we close this morning, I'd just like to have us read Psalm 23 together. I hope that now you can read it with new eyes and with a new heart, and you can apply it to your situation right where you are today. So read it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All right, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you so much for this gift, Psalm 23. Such a precious psalm. And we just pray that the familiarity with it through all these many years will not blind us from the power, the truth, the encouragement that is there for us every day. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We are in our sinful, selfish hearts. We run and hide. It gets us into big trouble. And so today we just want to confess our sins afresh and just say, Lord, we're coming back. Here we are. Thank you for your rod and your staff, your presence to protect and to comfort us. And Lord, lead these sheep with goodness and steadfast love all the way home. In Jesus' name, amen.